This is a Montbold Christian Fellowship sermon podcast. We hope you find this message enjoyable and inspiring.
Praise the Lord. Good morning. Good morning. This is part two in a message we started last week about the life of Joseph. And Joseph, you weren't there. You'll have to go online and listen to it. If you're a kid and you want to come and take up the front row, this is really a message for you. So that's it, Annalise, lead the way. That's it, Nerida, come and sit down. So, wow, there's a few of them. All right, last week we started talking about the story of Joseph, and we learnt that his dad favoured him more than all the other brothers, gave him a special coat. Remember, Joseph had these dreams, and the dreams were about his brothers and his parents bowing down to him. And they weren't happy with that. They threw him in a pit. Remember that? They threw him in a big well that didn't have any water. My goodness. Then they got him out, not to set him free, but to sell him as a slave. And off he went to Egypt. Who remembers what the brothers did with the coat after that? Who remembers? Do you remember, Joel? What did they do? Yeah, they ripped it up, put goat's blood on it, gave it to the dad. Dad, we found this. Do you know who it belongs to? Yeah. Dad's like, whoa, oh my goodness, this is Joseph's coat. He must have been torn apart by a wild animal. All the while the brothers knowing that they were lying and that they kept that lie for many years, a couple decades actually. So we know that then Joseph went and he was a slave in the house of Potiphar. But God was with him, and while he was there as a slave, in a place he probably didn't want to be, he was faithful to the Lord, and God was with him, and he prospered in all that he did. Except Potiphar's wife, you know the story, she sort of had the hots for Joseph. Do we still say have the hots for? I don't know. And she accused him of something he didn't do. Potiphar throws him into jail, and that's where we finished. And we talked a little bit. The main point of the message was about what we can sometimes let happen in our hearts during times that we think aren't fair. Who can remember that word that we used? And we tried to get that out by giving some 85% dark chocolate, and it sort of backfired on me. Do you remember, Phoebe, what the word was? Bitterness, that's right. When we think that life's not fair and things are not going our way, we can actually let bitterness come in. And we learned that bitterness can not just affect us, but others around us. And really, just like, you know, a shoot that grows up out of a seed, you can't get that bitterness and shove it back down to where it can. It's got to be pulled out. And really, we can't do that on our own. And God and his work and the Holy Spirit needs to come and do that in our life. Oh, that was a good recap. I hope you got something out of last week and maybe it challenged you. So I'm going to pick up from Genesis 40. Came to pass that after these things, remember that Joseph's in prison. I don't think I'd like to be in prison. I think it probably wouldn't be fair. Anyway, but we know that Joseph didn't have a bitter heart, did he? And everything he did seemed to go really well because God was with him. That the butler and the baker of the king of Egypt offended the king of Egypt. So they did something that the king didn't like. And he's like, you can go to jail. And off they went. And so now Joseph has some company. The butler and the baker are with him. And so he put them in custody in the house of the captain of the guard in the prison, the place where Joseph was confined. And the captain of the guard, who's like the big boss in the jail, I imagine him to be like this massive guy, tattoos everywhere, bald head, built like a fridge, this permanent scowl on his face. Give me your best scowl. Yeah. You're looking way too friendly there, Joseph. Captain of the guard, maybe not an occupation for you. Well, the captain of the guard charged Joseph with them. So he said, Joseph, you look after these two. I don't think he spoke in English, but I don't know Egyptian, so I can try. No, we won't try. Well, and he served them, so they were in custody for a while. We don't know how long they were there for. Could have been a couple of days, could have been a couple of weeks. Who knows? Then the butler and baker, oh, I meant to go back one verse. One verse before Genesis 40, it says this, or two of them. The keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners who were in the prison. Whatever they did there, it was his doing. So it says before that, that the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy, and he gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. Amazing. And anything that Joseph did, the big prison guard, he didn't have to worry because Joseph, he put Joseph in charge. Wow. Amazing, isn't it? Well, we know then that the butler and the baker, what happens to them one night? Who knows? One night something happens to both of them. I see that hand. Annalise. They have dreams. I picture them sort of both lying there and both waking up at the same time. Wait, let's try it together. So pretend to be sleepy too. Oh, ready? And go. You need to see this. This is classic. Come out here. Come out. You should see the look on their faces after they've had this dream. All right, that's it. That's it. And go. All right. So, whoa. My goodness. They both had the dream. Oh, they probably looked at each other. I just had this dream. Whoa, I just had a dream. And then they were so sad because they had these dreams, they didn't know what they meant. And Joseph's like, you know what? This is what he could have said. God interprets dreams. Once I had dreams, look what that did me. Put me in jail. Put me in. My brothers hated me because of my dreams. Stuff you and your dreams. I know God interprets them, but I don't have a bar of it. But he didn't. He's like, you know, God interprets dreams, and I'm going to tell you what they mean. Go on, tell me, what were the dreams? So the butler told his dream to Joseph, and he said, Do you want to be the butler, Grace? All right, I'll just talk to you. All right, so he said, Grace said this, behold, in my dream, a vine was before me. So just picture this, a vine, and in the vine were three branches. It was as though it had budded. Its blossoms shot forth. Its clusters brought forth ripe grapes. Then Pharaoh's cup was in my hand. I took the grapes and pressed them into the cup and placed the cup in Pharaoh's hand. And then he woke up. A weird dream. And Joseph said, this is the interpretation. The three branches are 3 days. And in 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head and restore you to your place. And you will put Pharaoh's cup in his hand again. So that's pretty good. And then the baker is like, oh yeah, that's pretty good. I reckon that sounds really similar to my dream. Oh, here, Joseph, I'll tell you what my dream is as well. Well, this is what he says. Annalise, it doesn't go so well for you, you know. He said, I had a dream and there were three white baskets on my head. The uppermost basket. So just picture, Annalise, three baskets on your head. In the uppermost basket were all kinds of baked goods for pharaohs, and the birds ate them out of the basket on my head. Then he woke up. So Joseph answered and said, well, this is the interpretation of it. The three baskets are 3 days. Within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift off your head from you and hang you on a tree. And the birds, it gets better, will eat your flesh from you. That's horrible. Yeah. Yeah. Well, there's one thing that Joseph said to the butler. He said, look, I've been sold into slavery and then I did something I didn't, got in trouble for something I didn't do, put in prison. When you get back to Pharaoh, can you like tell him about me and maybe get me out? And I reckon the butler was like, yeah, like you just gave me a great interpretation of my dream. Sure, I'll do that. Well, we know that on Pharaoh's birthday, 3 days later, imagine the king of Egypt, what sort of a cake he'd have for his birthday. What? Mud cake? Maybe. Sand cake. Okay, yeah. What do you think, Joseph? A what? Just a plain cake. Just no icing. Yeah. Just a plain. You know, he might have been that sort of guy. And we know that on his birthday, he restored the cupbearer back to the position and got rid of the baker. And then it says this, yet the chief butler did not remember Joseph, but forgot him. And the next verse says this, then it came to pass at the end of 2 full years. So he's like, oh, don't forget to tell him about, don't forget me. Yeah, no worries, no worries. What was I about to remember? Oh, I can't remember. 2 years later, oh, man, patience. We know Pharaoh has a dream. In fact, he has 2 dreams. We know the dreams that happen. There's one where we've got 7 cows that come out of the river. Don't know what they were doing in the river. Having a bath. Having a bath.
Or drinking water.
Or maybe drinking water. That's probably more likely. They were coming out, big fat cows, and then these 7 skinny cows come, eat the fat cows. But what's freaky, this is freaky. This is like nightmare. Well, it was a nightmare. The 7 skinny cows didn't look like they'd eaten anything. They were still just as skinny as before. Yeah, what's with that? Man. And then there was these 7 heads of grain and then these other horrible withered heads of grain came and devoured and ate up. Like, this is, man, I reckon his birthday pizza the night before must have had something off in it. Having these nightmares. Oh, what's bad is that he woke up after the first one, went back to sleep and had another one. That's not fair. Have you guys had that ever happened to you before? You have a nightmare and then you go back to sleep. Oh, at least I'll go back to sleep and you have another one. That happened to me once. One time, I had a nightmare about these Indians chasing me and shooting arrows at me. And I went into Mum, like, Mum, I had a nightmare. She said, oh, it's, I don't know what she said. Something that Mum say. It's all right. Go back to sleep. And do you know, when I went back to sleep, do you know what I saw? I saw the words, part 2. And then the dream continued on. I'm like, no. I kid you not. Wow. So poor old Pharaoh, he had a part 2 dream. This is, oh, he was so freaked out by it. He called for all the magicians and the wise men and he told them the dream. And they just said, wow, I don't know. I don't know what it means. And so then probably as he's saying about it, oh, I had this dream and I don't know what it means. The butler's there, you know, pouring the wine. Ah, oh, this dream, and there was a, I just need someone to interpret the dream. The butler's there just, this reminds me of something. Oh, yeah, you know when you've forgotten something and then you remember? Do you remember that? And it's just like, oh, whoops, I said I'd do this and I never did it. That's a bad feeling. Like if your mum says to you, make sure you take out the rubbish or clean your room, and then later on, it's like hours later, or maybe it's 2 years later, or the dishwasher, and you're just like, oh, no. He's like, oh, Pharaoh, just to let you know, once I had this dream and there's this guy that's still in prison. Why is he still in prison? I don't know. Maybe I forgot to say something. And so Pharaoh's like, bring him out. And so he came. Joseph got all spruced up. He had a shave. I don't know if you noticed I had a shave this week. Did you notice that? Yeah, I did. What's interesting, apparently Joseph was exactly my age when all this happened, around the age of 37. I don't know. So he gets up and he tells Joseph, Pharaoh says, I've heard it said that you can understand a dream to interpret it. And Joseph said, it's not in me, but God will give Pharaoh an answer of peace. And so he told him the dream. Both dreams, part 1 and 2. And Joseph said, you know what? Those 2 dreams mean the same thing. They're the same thing. There's going to be 7 years of plenty. 7 years of so much food. 7 years of just great, everything going fine. Pharaoh's probably like, yeah, yes. You're right. Just stop there, Joseph. Don't say anything else. No, but there's... No, I don't want anything else. That's enough. Just let's leave it there. No, Pharaoh, there's 7 more years coming and 7 years of famine unlike anything the world has ever seen. And in fact, if nothing's done about it, the whole world would be destroyed. The entire known world, I reckon, would be wiped out. And so Pharaoh's like, oh, great, thanks. So what do we do? And Joseph has an idea. What's his idea? Who knows? Josh. Yep. right. So during the plenty, you bring in all the crops and all the fruit and grain and all this sort of stuff. Probably just the grain. The fruit probably wouldn't last. And you take a fifth. Every year you take a fifth. And you do that the next year and the next year and next year. And then in the years of famine, then there'll be enough to go around. Not as much probably, but enough to get by. And then Pharaoh's like, well, I think I know who can do that job. So who got the job? Joseph did. And he was put in charge not only of that project, but he was given Pharaoh's ring. That was a sign of the authority of the king. And he got that ring, and anything Joseph said, that's what had to happen. He got to ride in the second chariot next to Pharaoh. People had to bow down to Joseph. He got these cool clothes. It says they got this gold chain around his neck. Bit of bling. Just like cruising around the chariot. And he said, the only area that you won't be higher than me is in the throne. You can't sit on that chair. That's taken. Seat's taken. You can't sit there. But anything else, he was like in charge of all the land. Whoa, he was this, do you know what? I reckon if he just put a prisoner in charge of everything. I reckon what happened is this. Oh, this isn't in the Bible, so this is in the like Adam Revised Version. I reckon Pharaoh's like, well, why is he in jail? What did he do? And then it was told what he did, that, you know, he'd sort of messed around with Potiphar's wife, and then Potiphar gets brought in, and maybe the wife, is this true? And maybe Potiphar's wife said, yeah, actually, I made it up. It didn't happen at all. I don't know if Pharaoh would put a prisoner who had done something to one of his important people's wife in charge of everything. So I reckon the truth came out. That's what I think. Man, what happens next? Oh, he gets a new name. Did you know that? Do you know Pharaoh gives him a name? It's a really weird one. Read it. It starts with a Z. Like, that's cool. If you get a new name given to you, man, make it start with a Z. That's awesome. Zach, you like Zach? No, okay. Well, this wasn't Zach. This was like this really long one. I went too far. Has anyone got it there? Yeah. What verse are we at? Oh, 45. And Pharaoh called Joseph's name Zaphnath. Paania. Oh, Zaphnath. Call me Zaphnath. In his chariot with his gold chain. Hey, it's Zaphnath. Zaphnath. Yeah. Zaphnath. Apparently, we don't really know what that means, but some, because it was like an Egyptian name, but some people think it meant the word saviour. Other scholars think it means, I wrote it down, I can't remember just now, hang on. It could mean he who reveals that which is hidden, or God speaks, giving life. So, I don't know, they're all pretty different from each other, so we don't really know. But we do know that Joseph means he will add, he will increase, which is definitely what happened in the life of Joseph. Oh, so everyone started, the years of plenty, things were going great, but then the famine hit. No food, no crops, just everything went south, went horrible. Joseph's family, who, you know, the ones that hated him, they started getting hungry. They needed food, so off they went to Egypt. Yeah, and off they went. And he was brought, they came before Joseph, and Joseph recognized them, and he knew that they were the brothers. And over time, we'll just cut a bit of a long story short, they needed to come for grain. They didn't bring Benjamin, the youngest son, and so they had to go back. But what Joseph did is he put the money that they paid him back in their sacks with them. And that sort of confused them. What are they doing? And Joseph did all these tests with them and spoke harshly to them, and all the while wondering, where's their heart at? In the end, it was going to be that that Joseph said, you know what, I'm going to keep Benjamin here with me, and you guys can go, but he's going to stay, and he's going to be put in prison. And Judah, he's like, no, take me instead. Ah, and they're talking amongst each other, saying it just must have been all this horrible stuff's happening to us because of what we did in the past to Joseph. Joseph could hear them. Joseph realizes, do you know what, they're really sorry for what they've done. And he then reveals himself to his brothers. Now, he would have looked pretty different. About 20 years had gone past since they'd seen him. 20 years. He was about 17 when he was first sold into slavery. 20 years later, he would have been 37. He would have been speaking a different language. He would have looked pretty different. You know, Egyptians sometimes wear this cool black eye makeup. Pretty cool. Oh, and the plaited beard, you reckon? Man, this guy's rocking it. He's got the beard, the eye makeup, the chariot, the chain, Zaphnath. Oh, the wig. Yep. Yep. Anyway, he revealed himself. He said, guys, it's me. It's Joseph. And they, do you think they were happy? They were scared. Why were they scared? What do you reckon, Joseph? They're like, we've done something so horrible to him. Now he's this great leader. What did they think? He could do anything to us. Anything. But they didn't know Joseph's heart. They didn't know that bitterness had not taken root in his heart. If it had, this is payback time for Joseph. But it hadn't. And it's a good thing, because we know that from the tribe of Judah comes who? Jesus comes from that tribe of Judah. If Joseph had let bitterness rise up at any stage in his journey, and then it's like, oh, here's my brothers, here's my dream interpreter, thank you very much, takes 20 years, you guys are gone. Off with their heads. You know, the Queen of Hearts in Alice in Wonderland? Jeez, that's creepy. Yeah. But he didn't. He preserved their life, and he said, is my dad okay? Is my, you know, is that, and so they go back and tell the dad, Jacob, and Jacob doesn't believe it. He doesn't believe it. And do you know what? That would have been a really tough moment for those brothers. What do you mean Joseph's dead? I've still got his, look at this, I've still got this ripped up, blood-covered garment. This was Joseph's. Where did you, and the brothers would have had to been, you know about that, dad? You know, 20 years ago with that, yeah. I made it. We made it up. Funny now, isn't it? No. But Jacob would have, I reckon if Joseph didn't kill the brothers, I reckon Jacob would have been close to, right, if I wasn't so old, man, maybe they did get a smack. I reckon he would have at least given a smack. Anyway, so he comes back and they get to live in the land. Now, do you know that they wouldn't have found out who Joseph was by themselves, would they? I don't reckon. Joseph had to reveal himself to them. Now, Joseph, in a lot of ways, is like Jesus. Yeah. Poorly treated, sold for money. Sounds like Jesus. No matter what he went through, he kept a really good spirit about himself. Jesus did that. Think about during the years of famine. Do you know that everyone, there was only one place they could go to get what they needed, and that was to Joseph during those years of famine. Only one place you could get what you need. And once their money was gone, do you know what they did after that? They didn't have any more money to buy grain. They sold their land, and then they gave that money to get more grain. And do you know what happened after they ran out of money for that? They presented themselves and said, we have nothing left. Can you just take us as your slaves? Because we're just going to hand ourselves completely over to you. And that is what happens with us and God. There's nowhere else that we can go. And sometimes it's not until we get to the very end of all our resources, trying our best. We're just like, there's nowhere else we can go. Just like what the disciples said in John 6. Remember when all these people were leaving Jesus and he said to his disciples, are you going to leave too? And they said, where are we going to go? You alone have the words of life. And that's what it is with Jesus and with Joseph. And do you know what's interesting? When they handed everyone handed themselves over to Joseph when they didn't have any money left and all they had was themselves, he said, "Here, take some grain and plant it and there'll be growth." The famine, I believe, ended at that point. Isn't it amazing? When you get to the end of yourself, when you've got nothing left to give, you've tried everything, sometimes that's when God says, "Now I can use you. Now we can have growth because you've gotten to a place where you've exhausted every other avenue and it's only you that I want." Well, think about how Joseph revealed himself to his brothers. Do you know Jesus reveals himself to us? And a couple of things happen when he did. When he told them who he was, he said, "Come into the land and be near me, and I'll nourish you." That's exactly what Jesus did. He reveals himself to us. He's so gracious, isn't he? He doesn't say, "Now, just to let you know, I'm God and I'm the creator of the universe and I died for you, but just keep at a distance." He doesn't do that. "Come near me and I will nourish you." So just before we finish up, because we want to give some time for the baptism, the main thing that I want to talk about today to finish up is that Joseph said right at the end, he said, "You know what? All these things that you did to me," he's talking to the brothers, "you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good." And Joseph said this, he says, "You did not send," said to the brothers, "you didn't send me to Egypt." Do you know he says this? He said, "God sent me. God sent me ahead of you to be able to preserve lives." Isn't that amazing? God sent him. To me, it doesn't look like God sent him. Brothers hating him, throwing in a pit, but God sending him. They pulling him out of a pit and they sell him into slavery. God's sending him. He gets sold, put into, you know, Potiphar's house, then thrown into jail. All of this is part of God sending Joseph. God sending him. Wow. And then he's able to save the whole world, save his family. And as we know, they're in Egypt, then comes Moses, and then all the rest of the Old Testament, and then comes Jesus, and the rest is history. So sometimes we just look at today, don't we? And all the troubles of today, and things maybe we're worried about this week, and maybe we don't like things that are going on around us. But you know what? Maybe God's sending you. Maybe you're in a place now that's a hard place. And I'm talking to some adults here as well. Maybe you're in a place where things are happening in your life that's not fair. Maybe you're dealing with some illness. Maybe you're dealing with some family issues. But maybe God's sending you. And it might not look like it. But maybe God's, this is all part of his plan. And he doesn't cause these things, but he allows things to take place. And we can only see often a step at a time, whereas God sees everything, doesn't he? He sees everything. And we've got to trust in God for that. So we've got to know a few things. We've got to know that God's with us. Do you believe he's with you? We've got to know that even if some people mean things for evil, God can mean it for good. Do we believe that? We've got to know that God sees the whole picture. And even though we may not be happy with our current circumstances, maybe God's allowing them, and maybe he's even testing our character to see how we're going to respond to him in those times. And that's hard, because I know, I tell you what, I fail at that a lot when testing comes and trials come. Oh, God, give us a heart like Joseph, one of integrity and one that can not let bitterness come in. So I'm just going to pray, and I'm going to especially pray for you guys at the front. Do you know God has great things in store for each one of you? Do we believe that, everyone else in the church? And we're, as we pray, everyone else will be praying for you. And it's really important that you know that God is with you. He's with you no matter what you're walking through. Sometimes life goes great, and that's awesome. But sometimes it doesn't. But we can be thankful in these circumstances. So let's pray together. Thank you, God. Lord, we just thank you for the story of Joseph, and we could spend months on that story and getting things out of it. But Lord, we just thank you for this time to just delve into your word. Thank you, Lord, for the life of Joseph. Lord, for the heart he had for his brothers. Lord, how he looked after them. God, we thank you, Lord God, for the wisdom that you gave him. Thank you that you were with Joseph. Thank you that even though he went through hard times, that you were with him. Lord, remind us of that. Help us to see you in our circumstances. Help us to have faith, knowing that regardless of what's going on in our life, you're at work. You're at work to bring about your purposes. And maybe your purposes aren't for us to be comfortable and for life to be convenient, but maybe it's about something bigger than us. Help us to be humble enough to accept that, God. Lord, and I pray for each one of these children, Lord, in this church. God, I just pray that they would have a revelation of you. God, I pray that they wouldn't just be riding on the faith of their parents, Lord, but that they would experience you. Lord, reveal yourself to them, just like Joseph revealed himself to his brothers. Lord, may they know what it is to be near you, to rely on you, for you to be with them, God. I just pray, Lord, as they go about their week heading back into school this week, God, you're with them as they go about their week. And we just thank you, Lord, for them. And for the rest of us as well, Lord God. Lord, be with us, Lord. Open our eyes to the fact that you're in control. And help us, Lord God, to maintain just an attitude of love for you. And we pray, Lord, against that bitterness that can easily come into our hearts. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening. And please check out our website or come and visit us at Mombole Christian Fellowship.